We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, on the line, we need an expert on the line. I began the show by questioning the ownership of three of our franchises in the city.
Yeah.
Got a guy here from PhillyVoice.com who does a brilliant job covering the Sixers and in off-season does a lot of great stuff on the Eagles. Our former intern, the great Kyle Newbeck's with us. Hi, Kyle.
Good morning, Angelo.
Hey, Kyle, will you do the good, the bad, and the ugly, which I think is one of my favorite things on the internet. Is it easier for basketball or easier for football?
It's probably easier for basketball just because I do 82 of them a year plus the playoffs. You get into more of a rhythm. And, you know, I think Eagles fans are also a little more critical afterwards, which, you know, Angelo, as a writer yourself, you don't like people being overly critical of your work. So
not at all, no.
So I think that's what makes the Eagles stuff a little harder. But, you know, you welcome that challenge. I like doing that every week.
All right, let me throw a couple of Sixer questions at you because I was very impressed with the introduction of Doc Rivers. I was impressed that they got him, and I was impressed with his initial comments. Were you impressed?
Absolutely. I think, Angelo, like I have hang-ups with this organization still, certainly. But if you were looking at a guy who comes in and has instant credibility, somebody who's going to be able to get through to, you know, not just the guys on the roster, which is the most important thing, but the people in the front office, even up to the ownership level, that's Doc Rivers. He's a guy who brings instant respect, a guy who's won for basically the last 15 years and counting. Like he's a very, very good coach who has his weaknesses, which are weaknesses that you don't necessarily want in a coach who's supposed to take this team to the next level. But as far as the candidates could have gone, it would have been hard to do better than Doc Rivers, I think.
All right. Joel Embiid is doing whatever he wants on the court. They call a timeout. Doc Rivers says, Joel, you got to do this. Is he more likely to listen than he would have when Brett Brown was there?
Yeah, I think so, Angelo. And some of that is just going to be, like, I think that would have been the case regardless because I think a new voice was needed for everyone, not just Joel. And I think right away that effect was going to be, look, I'm willing to listen and do what the new guy says. I think Doc Rivers amplifies that because of who he is, because of the track record he has. Like, you know, you look around, Angelo, and players around the league respect this guy. It's the I've said this already in my writing. He's the type of guy that when his team is in town or your team is playing on the road against his team, guys that never even played for him want to come up and talk to him, say hello, just like talk shop a little bit. So I definitely think he should have the ear of Joel and Ben, certainly.
All right, let me see if he'll have the ear of Elton. Do you think he's going to have significant say in personnel?
I don't know about significant say. The people I talked to, Angelo, said that he, quote-unquote, would not have front office duties. But I think you and I know, as well as anyone, guy with his stature that is supposed to be coming in here to lead is going to have a voice, and he's not going to be shy about going to Elton Brand, who he already said during his opening presser he was going to have a partnership with and work with. He's going to be in his ear. So, you know, I guess we'll see if he starts bringing in guys from his old teams. That'll be the telltale sign that he's got a lot more influence than the team is letting on. But I think the dust needs to settle on whoever they're next front office hires are going to be before we can figure that out.
All right. I was offering as a topic to discuss today the ownership of our three main franchises. Is Joshua Harris a good owner, Kyle?
He's a good owner in the sense that it seems that people on the front office and coaching side of things are impressed with the organization and think they want to spend, which is, you know, half the battle. I don't think he's been a good owner in that I think this ownership group has tried to be too involved in a lot of the front office things. I think they've been too afraid to, you know, they've bent to the will of outside forces a little bit. First, we saw that with Sam Hinkie. Then they've been able to be convinced by the Colangelo underlings that they deserve to stay after he leaves the organization in disgrace. And now we're seeing the front office still largely in place months after this failure of a season ended. So they haven't been strong enough for me. And I think until they sort out those issues at the top, that there's only so much impact a move like the Doc Rivers hiring can have.
That's an excellent analysis. I want to add one more element to that. I like an owner who can have a connection, a bond with the fans. This guy has the least bond I've ever seen in an owner anywhere, and I would like to offer you Exhibit A. He was talking about what it's like to be an owner. Ironically, taking flack when the Sixers were going real bad during the process era, and he was taking flack not here out because he doesn't live here.
No.
He lives in New York City. And then he made a comment that I think needs to be heard every hour today because it tells you how detached he is from you, the fan. Listen.
Even in New York, kids come up to my family's kids and say, hey, the Sixers lost 26 in a row. How do you like that? And, you know, we don't like that. So this is my doorman says to me, hey, you know, can't you get those players going?
Kyle, what type of feedback are you receiving from your doorman?
I mean, look, Angela, I wish I had a doorman. I wish I had the money to go live in another city from the one where I was supposed to be working and running a franchise. It would be nice to have that kind of money to throw around. But I agree with you, Angelo. That shows part of the problem here. And look, if you look at a couple other of the organizations in Philadelphia, we've seen the different results with, you know, half measures and full measures. The Flyers bring in a new management and a new coach, and they do both of those things, and there's almost an immediate turnaround. They're a much more serious threat in the NHL playoffs this year. You look at the Phillies, they bring in just a manager, but they still have the same front office structure in place, and we all see what happened this season with the Phillies. So, you know, I think the Sixers can't be content with this half measure, and that's what I would be worried about, that this ownership group doesn't feel like they need to go the whole way to get this thing right.
All right, and let me just say, both Al and I right now are flabbergasted because we both worked at Philly Voice, and when we worked there, we both had doormen. So I don't know what they're doing. They are not giving you the money they gave me and Al. Now, I even had a manservant there
Maybe
for a while.
Maybe you should be negotiating
for
me.
Yeah, I think I better talk to those people.
Meeting.
Kyle, one more. Though. This is where I got to take you over to the Eagles, which you also do a great job with. Here's what we're dealing with the Eagles and their owner. Their owner has like a surrogate son as his general manager, Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman, since the parade, has gotten nothing right. In fact, he was starting to get it wrong during the draft before the 17th season. Kyle, how many years before Lurie looks at Howie and goes, we can't keep having one bad draft, one bad decision after another. I got to put somebody in there other than my buddy. Doesn't he have to do that by now?
He does, but I think the problem runs deeper than that, right? Because, you know, he's had all these people in here. He had Joe Douglas in here at some point, who's supposed to be the player personnel guru. The drafting falls on a lot of people. That's the scouts. That's the people who are going around watching these games in person when watching these games in person was more of a thing. This is a systemic failure that they've had at the front office level. Now, obviously, we know that Howie has his strengths when that comes to cap management and getting out of bad deals, negotiating deals, et cetera. But I agree with you, Angelo. At some point, someone's got to be held accountable for the state the football team's in. And when guys go down with injuries and their depth is what their depth is right now, that falls on the front office. So, you know, it doesn't seem like Jeffrey Lurie is particularly inclined to – you know, let the axe fall on Howie Roseman, but he's got to be feeling some heat right now, at the very least, I would think.
Keith Jones predicting two additional years before Howie is finally removed. Kyle, you do amazing work at Philly Voice. Thank you, as always, for coming out with us today. Take care, my friend.
You too, Angelo.
All right, that's Kyle Newbeck with some great insights. What we're doing today, in case you just tuned in, because I got room for you on the board. I got George, Gary, Tim, and Brian. You will get on very soon. And the question I'm asking you on the 77th birthday of Chevy Chase, my own personal friend. Mm-hmm. We worked together at the Borgata last winter.
That was brilliant, wasn't
probably
it?
Probably again, too, right? You going to do another show with him?
I'm pretty sure we're not, Al.
No?
Same audience will be there.
No, Al, the show itself, Al, I'm not going to sit here and lie. It was a bumpy ride. That was a bumpy ride. But he was funny at times.
Yes.
And incoherent at others.
Yeah. Asked and answered.
All right, but we are, Al, he made a lot of great, great,
yes,
funny movies.
Yes, he is incredible.
To honor Chevy Chase's 77th birthday, we are asking you to name the funniest movie you ever saw. I will judge the top five for our great prize today. We got great stuff. We had a Miles Sanders jersey. Would you enjoy a jersey with Miles Sanders? We got a Miles Sanders jersey today. Well, I am taking two off the board after consulting with my movie consultant, Jonesy. Mm-hmm. Right, Borat, which is the funniest movie ever made. Correct, Jonesy?
By far.
By far the funniest movie. And I'm also taking off the movie that has not come out yet,
which
October
is?
23rd, Borat 2.
How much?
There it is. There it is.
High five.
High five. George is out of life, North Wilmington. Hi, George.
High five.
There it is. George, George, did you enjoy Borat?
Oh, Borat's awesome.
You know what I realized, George, because I get a lot of emails from people that didn't. I don't respect those people. They don't have a funny bone. Oh,
respect me?
No, I really don't. Not with movies. No, I don't respect you at all with movies. You lost me during your big, you had that big problem with,
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. That did it for me with the Bradley Cooper thing. I'm in the Cooper camp in that feud. George, let's talk about the owners in this town because they're not doing a good job.
Well, I just want you to know that everyone on that show is listening to the doorman, the maid, the chef, the landscaper, and the chauffeur of my home. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm not in a position to live in, you know, some huge townhome in New York. But anyway, I think that clip that you played of the 1958, I think it was, The Fly.
Yeah.
I think that fly sounds more intelligent than that owner of the 76ers.
Oh, Joshua Harris. I thought you were going to say Middleton, because Middleton –
no,
I don't think anybody has ever completely changed my mind in one news coverage the way Middleton did on Saturday.
Even Al, and
I'm the only one. Al, you have admired the fact that he did seem to have a bond with the fan. How do you explain what he did on Saturday?
I think because it was Zoom, he lost all sense of people and like.
So he was. That was the real John Middleton.
He was frustrated. Sounds to me like he's very friendly with McPhail. I think he's defensive about him.
Yeah.
Because they might be like the same age or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Pretty close.
But I think he's defensive about it. I've seen guys get defensive about guys that.
But McPhail is a has-been.
But if he's your guy, he's your guy. It's like he looks at him almost like a teammate. It seems like. But the condescension to everything was just like, what, like you didn't win. I didn't get it.
I don't either. But it said to me that without being surrounded by his PR people and being prepped the way you would in a normal news conference, that the real John came through. And it was arrogant, obnoxious, and frankly, I have no confidence.
But he came in here with no new PR.
Yeah, I don't think he needs that. I mean, I don't know what he was attempting to accomplish.
Me either.
Whatever it was, he did not accomplish it. It was quite the opposite.
It was terrible.
George, you clearly have good taste in funny films, knowing that you love Borat. Give me a great funny film, George.
Anchorman.
Absolutely.
Will Ferrell.
Very good.
That is good. With
Stay
that.
Classy.
That's a 70s vibe there, right? With the big bushy mustache.
Oh, yeah, all the newscasters. Right.
A lot of that. That's very.
Jonesy worked with Anchorman.
Can I ask a question?
Billy Cement Jr.
What in God's name happened to Will Ferrell? He was pumping out some great
movies.
He
was.
And then, Al, it's like somebody turned the faucet off. He hasn't made a good movie in 10 years.
Is that right?
And now he's making schlock. He did some movie that just came out on Netflix that was putrid.
No. Was it a comedy or was it a dark movie? Like,
it was intended to be a comedy,
okay. And
was brutal.
Really? That's amazing.
I started it strictly because it was Will Ferrell, unwatchable.
I wonder how that happened.
I don't
great.
Know
how
it
happened.
It doesn't make sense to me. 215-592-9494. Jump on board. We come back. Josie's going to give us, Josie, I want to hear a little more about your knee
and what
you had to go through
and
what it's like life after athletics.
Yeah.
Because, see, he never shares this part of him out.
Mm-hmm.
He had a major procedure done on his right knee. Mm-hmm. And right now he is doing a show with a bag of ice on the knee.
That's cool.
And I would like to know what that, we don't often really explore the pain an athlete is in after his career. And he's going to take us inside Keith Jones before his far more elaborate appearance on Mack Now and Dittinger on Saturday at noon.
Yes.
Saturday at noon?
I don't know.
Thank you very much. Jonesy, count me hours till he has that opportunity. WIP Sports Time is 7:06.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.